facts about the Second Amendment.
And never ever forget that all gun control laws are nothing less than overt acts of aggression against the American people and their rights.
Exercise your rights in a safe way.
Stupidity to think that someone hell-bent on violating the law against murder will magically be stopped by a gun control law.
Politicians that infringe on our God-given rights, he calls them out, he's not here to play. So turn it on, tune in, crank it up, Royce Bartlett and the Shooting Straight Show. Let's go, let's go.
You better believe we're locked and loaded on the Shooting Straight Radio Podcast, also known as Second Amendment University. I am Royce, your host and Professor Emeritus of Second Amendment Studies, pouring it to you from both barrels with 100% felt recoil and no suppressor at all, and all while being heavily saturated with gunshot residue, toxic masculinity, and a faint yet wildly tantalizing whiff of the cologne of my people, Hops Number 9. If you don't have a favorite podcast platform to catch this show on, shootingstraightradio.com. And you can also contact me there, royce@shootingstraightradio.com. Also, the Shooting Straight Radio podcast page on Farcebook, you can message me there. I don't always see the notifications that I have a message, but as soon as I do, I will respond. And if you don't believe me, ask Todd Centers and Daniel Centers up there in Kentucky whether I respond or not. Guys, hats off to both of you. I appreciate both of you. Always sending encouraging words and saying hey and keeping in contact. I sincerely thank you. Also, don't forget, Voice of the Blue podcast. There's a link to it on each episode page. I am the host of that also, commissioned to produce that program for the American Police Hall of Fame. There's some riveting interviews in there from law enforcement professionals talking about their careers and many of the things that that happened to them during those years of service. So, Voice of the Blue podcast, don't forget. Also, soon, this program will be transcripted for those of you that are hard of hearing, like your host, and so you'll be able to catch the transcripts. That's a new feature we're going to be adding here probably within the next week, and I'm going to try to go back and transcribe the last 20 episodes, if possible, and get all of those up and where people can go back and read them if they want to, okay? All right, let us deal with the elephant in the room. I was going to, that's not true. I'm about to say that I was going to bring this out the day after it happened, but no, I didn't want to do that. I wanted to give it a day or two. And what's funny about this most recent shooting in St. Louis, and man, I tell you, I hate being right when it comes to the media and the things that they do and the way they treat these shootings. Because it wasn't a massive loss of life, suddenly this thing disappeared off the media radar literally within 24 hours. You can still find stuff about this St. Louis school shooting on the various news media outlet pages. But it's funny, it doesn't get top billing unless there's a massive loss of life. The shooter in this case was shot down by police who were at the school. Why, where did we get this idea that people armed on site would be the best defense? Common Sense University. Police on site shut this dude down. Sadly, he was still able to kill two people, a teacher and a student, but fortunately, they got him before he was able to shoot up all 600 rounds that he had with him. So he planned on doing lots and lots of damage. So the article This one, I believe, from, goodness, I didn't happen to write down the, oh, no, I'm sorry, from CBS and the AP, Associated Press. A teacher and a 16-year-old girl were killed Monday morning, and this is from October 24th, 2 days ago, in a shooting inside a St. Louis high school, authorities said. The gunman was also killed in the shooting at Central Visual and Performing Arts High School, police said, and seven others were injured. At a news conference, Police Commissioner Michael Sack said the injuries ranged from gunshot wounds to shrapnel wounds. All seven injured victims were in stable condition as of Monday night, Commissioner Michael Sack stated. He told reporters, "This is a heartbreaking day for all of us. It's going to be tough. While on paper we might have nine victims, we have hundreds of others. Everyone who survived here is going to take home trauma. Even the officers who responded here and the firefighters and the paramedics who worked on people here are going to experience some degree of trauma." And yes, I agree with that. We don't have any idea the lingering trauma and the emotional impact and PTSD suffered by people who just simply witnessed what was going on or witnessed the aftermath. Back to the article. Sack identified the gunman as 19-year-old, and I'm not going to give his name because I don't give the names of scumbag murderers. And that's what he is. That's what he was. Thankfully, he's no longer around. His justice was very swift. 19-year-old shooter, they said he graduated from that school last year. Harris, who is black, I'm not sure why that was, you know, even, you know, what was the point of that, but I will make a point about it. He shot mostly other black teenagers. He preyed upon his fellow black Americans, his fellow black students. He lived in St. Louis with his family, had no prior criminal history, Sack said at a press conference Monday morning. Well, there is some evidence, though, that he did have some run-ins with police who were called to the house, and I'll tell you more about that why in just a little bit. I'll tell you the whys and the wheres. Police have not confirmed a motive for the shooting, but said they are investigating if mental illness played a part. Well, it did. The aftermath of all this, they found out it most certainly did. And actually, I think they knew that beforehand, and I'll explain why in just a little bit. He said the quick police response potentially saved lives. Amen. Not potentially at all. He had 600 rounds. He was there to do damage. Thank God they were there on site with guns, and they were not afraid to engage the shooter. Yes, little hat tip to the Uvalde Police Department there. You're welcome. Sack stated, he said this could have been much worse. The individual had almost a dozen 30-round high-capacity magazines on him. And the more I hear this guy Sack talk, the more I realize he's a little left-leaning. He says, so that's a whole lot of victims there. But because of the quick response, that suspect did not have the opportunity to turn this into, and I believe he was about to say tragedy, but then he caught himself realizing that, yes, two dead people is still a tragedy. And then he said, it's certainly tragic for the whole family, it's tragic for the community, but it could have been a whole lot worse. Amen, Chief. And so far, I'm with you here. But then you got to go and say something stupid like the next comment. He said that lax gun laws make it more difficult for police to stop shootings. Excuse me, Chief? Explain that comment. Please explain that comment. Explain the assertions that are lumped into that comment. What do you mean lax gun laws make it more difficult for police officers to stop shootings? The only thing that makes it more difficult for police officers to stop shootings is time, space, and distance. Yes, you guys happened to be very close in distance, so that decreased the reaction time. there was very little space between all you and your boys and the shooter, and they shut him down. Didn't just shut him down, they shot him down, which is exactly what needs to be done with these scumbags when they walk into these gun-free zones. And apparently they're the only ones that have the guns in the gun-free zones. Well, thankfully, there were some good guys with guns in that gun-free zone, and they shot him down by shooting him down. Thank God. He says, and by the way, you said that it makes it difficult for you guys to shut these guys down. You stopped this one pretty handily. Give yourself some credit. He said it's very easy to get guns. Gun laws in Missouri are very broad and allow people to have weapons that they can carry openly down any street, and there's nothing we can do. Well, why should you be able to? People are freely exercising a right. If someone walks down Main Street with a rifle, we've got no cause to go talk to them. So that makes it very challenging in an urban environment. Okay, and which one of those laws, or what laws in particular, would have stopped this shooter from doing what he did, Chief? He was already hell-bent on violating the law against murder. What law would have stopped him? What law would have enabled you to be there quicker than you were? Yeah. St. Louis Public Schools said on Twitter that the shooter was quickly stopped by police, quote unquote. Quickly stopped. Good. That's what we need. Quickly stopped. They need to be stopped quickly. How do you do that? But by guys with guns. Good guys with guns. So for all of you Moms Demand Action sickos and all of you Giffords wackos, what does this tell you? This exemplifies what we have been saying for a long, stinking time. The only thing that shuts down a bad guy with a gun who is hell-bent on shooting innocent people in this giant fishbowl known as a gun-free zone is a good guy with a gun shooting down the bad guy with the gun. I don't know how many more times this has to be exemplified in said fashion before you people pull your heads out of your posterior ends, your political posterior ends, and stop with your politically motivated crap. The only thing you want is to disarm everybody in the country, everybody on the continent, and turn the entire continent into a giant, likeness of these gun-free zones. You want to turn the entire country into a big gun-free zone. That's what you want to do. And this is what's going to happen in that gun-free zone. Bad people will walk in with guns and start killing people. Again, I've said, these gun-free zones getting shot up are nothing but a microcosm of a disarmed society at the mercy of its government. You're welcome. Back to the article. Adams said 7 security guards were in the building at the time, each one at an entry point of the locked building. Good! Good safety plan! And it apparently worked. One of the guards noticed the young man was trying to get in at a locked door, but was not able to. Did you catch that part, Uvalde? A locked door. Oh, what did that do? Well, it bought them precious reaction time. These people did everything right. It's sad 2 people were killed, but thank God it was only 2. The guard notified school officials and ensured that the police were contacted. It was that timely response by that security officer, the fact that the door did pause for did cause the suspect to pause, that bought us some time, Sack said. Yes, officers worked to get students out of the 3-story brick building and then, according to Sack, ran to the gunfire, located the shooter, and engaged him in an exchange of gunfire, killing him. Perfect. I am sorry. I don't rejoice in the loss of human life, but I do rejoice when that loss is mitigated by shooting down the filthy predator that walked in there, hell-bent on killing a bunch of people. Chief, I will give you and your officers kudos for doing what you did. But unfortunately, you get a failing grade by adding your politics to this crap in the after-action comments. It's infuriating and it's frustrating beyond measure to have someone get out there and blame lax gun laws as the problem. No, you know that wasn't the problem. I know that wasn't the problem. Everybody that was associated with this shooter, including the family, his own family, knew that that was not the problem. They knew that that young man was the problem. He had mental problems long before this happened, did so for years, and that's what precipitated this. We'll look at that after-action report here in just a couple of minutes. First, we're going to hear from my good friends out at shootingclasses.com, WJS Guns, Counter-Strike Tactical, Sicario's Gun Shop, Glover, Orndorff, and Flanagan Wealth Management, and thank you guys all for your continued sponsorship of this program. We will be right back. Don't go anywhere because Captain Rob and Sergeant Spaulding are on standby. So, you know what that means. Be right back. ShootingClasses.com. If you are a firearms instructor, that's the only logical place to run your firearms business from. ShootingClasses.com. You can set up your page there, set up your profile, set up your classes, take payments there. Your certificates are auto-generated, rosters are auto-generated, and also sends emails out to your students before the class, reminding them at least a week or two out they have a class coming up. And I can't find any other platform out there where it makes sense to run your business from if you're a firearms instructor. Everything's right there. Even if you want to print your financial reports come tax time, it's all right there at shootingclasses.com. If you're a student, set up an account out there and you get matched up with some serious, serious firearms instructors. Men like David Boone Benton, Israel Matos, Chris Tonto Peranto, and guys like that, Bill Orndorff, Bruce Corey. Those are the guys that actually founded ShootingClasses.com. It is, I'll tell you what, it's genius. And it simply doesn't make sense to try to run your business from any other platform. ShootingClasses.com. My buddies out of WJS Guns in Merritt Island, Bill Stasak and Dalton and Troy and the gang out there do a fine job taking care of all their customers, including law enforcement officers who want to buy Blue Label firearms. He's a Blue Label dealer for multiple manufacturers. Also, very female friendly. They do a great job serving all of their customers. They will get you squared away and well regulated in your Second Amendment rights. He offers handguns, long guns, a great selection of 1791 gun leather brand holsters, also body armor, ammunition, magazines. What are you looking for? Bill's got you covered out there at WJS Guns. Check him out at WJSGuns.com. If you want to do some fishing, he's got you covered with fishing tackle. Bill is a total outdoor store. WJSGuns.com. Check him out there. Do make sure you tell him you heard about him on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast.
Counter-Strike Tactical is the best little gun store in Melbourne. Anthony Vallejo, owner and combat veteran. Go-to weapons brand rifles, AR-15s, AK-47s, handguns, ammo. Visit the best little gun store in Melbourne. Or call 321-499-4949 and tell Anthony that Roy sent you.
Sicario's Gun Shop. Buy, sell, or trade firearms. Purchase Class 3 NFA items, custom builds, gunsmithing, and cleaning. Liberty Gun Safes. Sicario's Gun Shop fully supports our military and law enforcement. Visit online at sicariosgunshop.com or in person at 5325 North Wickham Road, Suite 105 in Melbourne, Florida.
Sicario's, where you come first for your second.
Life has a way of throwing unforeseen events and new opportunities our way. At Glover, Orndorff & Flanagan Wealth Management, they are dedicated to putting your interests first with a truly personalized approach. They are there to bring confidence to your investment planning choices. Whether you need income production for retirement, 401k guidance, long-term investments, or other financial planning needs, they'll focus on the establishment of a plan tailored to your life's priorities. For more information, call Bill Orndorff, partner with Glover, Orndorff & Flanagan Wealth Management today at 321-344-1202. 321-344-1202. Investment products and services are offered through Wells Fargo Advisors Financial Network, LLC. Member SIPC. Glover, Orndorff & Flanagan, LLC is a separate entity from Wells Fargo Advisors Financial Network. Again, mega thank yous to ShootingClasses.com, WJS Guns, Counter-Strike Tactical, Sicario's Gun Shop, and Glover, Orndorff & Flanagan Wealth Management. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate you continuing to keep this program flying. It is because of you guys and your generosity that we're able to keep this program rocking and rolling. By the way, I want to wish a mega happy birthday to the producer of this program, Mr. Norman Maynor. Brother, I can't thank you enough for everything you do for this program either. I tell you what, you are such an integral part of this show. And I wish you the happiest of birthdays, my friend. So back to this issue, this shooting that was quickly shut down by armed police officers at the school when this young man walked in and began shooting, obviously intent on killing lots of people, and had planned to do some for some time, according to After Action News reports. Here's one from NBC News. And it says, months before 19-year-old shooter opened fire Monday inside a St. Louis high school, his family told police he had a gun and they had it removed from the home. Okay, kudos to the family. They saw there was an issue with the young man and they removed the tool. Unfortunately, it was just the tool. The young man should have been removed, but that happened on several occasions too, apparently. It says the family was aware the gunman had mental health struggles and did everything that they possibly could have done to help him, including getting him therapy, medication, and committing him on several occasions. But sometimes that's not enough. Interim St. Louis Metropolitan Police Chief Michael Sack said during a news conference. The chief did not disclose how the shooter acquired an AR-15-style rifle after police removed a weapon months before the shooting at Central Visual and Performing Arts High School. He also declined to discuss how the gunman entered the building, despite locked doors, security guards, and metal detectors at the school. But when asked if the gunman had to break glass to enter the building, the chief did say that he did have to force entry. And then from ABC News, here, this posted today at 2:32 p.m., it says St. Louis School had always been the target for the teen suspect. And that was a statement by the police. So they knew it was a target. I think the family knew it was a target. And I believe that there, because of this, that those security guards were there at the school and at each entrance. And I think this thing was handled as well as it could have been handled. Could it have been handled better? Sure. They could have shot him before he got inside. But the article from ABC News says, for the 19-year-old who opened fire at his former high school in St. Louis, Missouri, killing two, the school had always been the target, police said. The suspect, blank, blank, I told you I don't give them any notoriety, I don't give them any fame on this program, felt isolated and alone. And there was a disconnect between him and what he felt was the school community. This sounds familiar, doesn't it? Yeah, the punk in Parkland, the punk in Newtown, and so many others. By the way, a lot of these spree shooters are incels, involuntarily celibate people. That was the case here also. One student and one teacher were killed in that Monday morning shooting at Central Visual and Performing Arts High School. Several others were injured. Let me get down to this part here. Harris, I told you I wasn't going to give his name, and I did. He had been seeing mental health professionals, and his family had committed him on some occasions. He also, it says the family noticed him kind of stepping out of line. They always worked to try to get him back on his medication, back into therapy, whatever it is that he needed. According to Sack, the shooter had written in his journal, "I don't have any friends. I don't have any family. I've never had a girlfriend. I've never had a social life." Chief Sack said Harris called himself an isolated loner, and Mr. Harris said that's a perfect storm for a mass shooter. Well, I agree. Most of these spree shooters feel ostracized, they feel picked on, or they feel shunned by society or by their peers, and this is how they act out. The same with the Columbine shooters. They acted out in the same fashion. They called themselves the Trench Coat Mafia or some kind of crap like that. They were weirdos, and they were shunned by the rest of the students at the school. So, yes, this was a perfect storm. I think it was indeed. I know it was premeditated, but more than that, I think that there were people in charge that knew this could be a problem, and they set up barriers, including locked doors, to deal with the potential threat. Good for you. Yes, it's tragic. Two people died, but apparently it wasn't tragic enough because ABC and NBC and CNN and CNBC and all the rest of them, this thing fell off their radar real quickly. Why? Because there wasn't enough dead kids laying in the hallway smeared with blood afterwards. That's why. Yeah. And because the shooter was stopped by good guys with guns, and that does not fit their narrative. That is the more prevalent reason here. I really believe it with all my heart. That is what made them go, you know what, this isn't really worth, commenting much more on. Well, yes, it is. And I want to know when the rest of the schools around this country are going to start taking this crap seriously. I really do. When are y'all going to start taking this seriously? Because obviously this school did, and they were ready for it. Well, there was a school on October 17th. This is an article from The Blaze, written by Courtney Weil. Back on October 16th or 17th, I don't know what was wrong with the administrators here at this school or the staff. Because, well, let me just read you the article. You'll be incredulous, just like I am, reading the article. Because there were four masked teenagers carrying guns allegedly allowed into the school by administrators because the administrator said it wasn't safe for them to be out there because the police were nearby. What? Not only should these administrators be fired, they should be in jail. Let me read you the article. Tell me if you agree. Two high school assistant principals supposedly opened school doors to permit four masked teenagers with guns to enter the building because the administrators feared for the safety of the suspects, at least three of whom appeared to be black, since police had already arrived on the scene. I'm not sure what the race matters. What matters more to me is if they're wearing a mask and carrying a freaking gun. What does it matter if they were black, Hispanic, white, Latino? What does that matter? What matters is they were let in. They were wearing masks, obviously trying to conceal their identity. On September 4th, no, this happened on September 14th. It wasn't reported until October 17th. On September 14th, security officers at Garrett Morgan High School in Cleveland, Ohio, reportedly spotted four armed teenagers wearing masks approaching the school and immediately contacted 911. While the suspects continued to approach the school, the security officers repeatedly emphasized that the suspects should not be let inside. Now, this was recorded even on the 911 call. One man, according to the audio from the 911 call, said, "Do not let them in. Do not let anybody through that door, people." The dispatcher said, "Keep the school locked down." Another person was yelling, "Don't let them in the building." And yet another person seemed to relay that message to others, echoing, "Don't let them in the building." Okay, first chapter in the book of you've got four people wearing masks, armed with firearms, walking into a building, into a school. The most idiotic thing to do is to let them in for their own safety. However, the article continues, despite these repeated warnings, the young men were, in fact, allowed into the building. According to reports, two school administrators, Christopher Kane and Carolyn Elias, both assistant principals, allowed them in. Wow. But are you grasping this? I don't know if this is some woke crap or what, but one of the two APs told police, assistant principals told police in a statement, "I confirmed first that the interior doors were locked and instructed the four suspects to come to the vestibule because it was unsafe to be outside because I saw police officers." What? I'm gobsmacked, people. I am literally speechless for once in my life, for once in my career as a public speaker, podcaster, radio host, and such. I am without comment. I don't know what to say to this, other than arrest these two flaming jackasses, throw them into jail without bond for publicly endangering all the students in the school. Wow. I don't know what to say. Really? According to the post-millennial, back to the article, Kane was spotted on security footage standing by the doors. I don't know. The principal, assistant principal, where the alleged gunman supposedly entered. The four were then in the vestibule area, accessible to the outside world, but allegedly locked from the inside, preventing the suspects from entering the rest of the building. Really? Well, what would prevent them from pointing one of their guns at one of those assistant principals and saying, "Unlock that door, or I'm going to smoke you right here, right now"? Let me tell you something. If these two people are so stupid, they'll let these four gunmen into the vestibule, then they're certainly cowardly enough to open the door for them to keep from getting shot. My word. The school, which serves about 285 students, remained on lockdown during the entire incident. All four suspects are believed to have arrived at the school in a total of three stolen vehicles. Though the suspects attempted to run away, police apprehended three of them. Guns were discovered on two of the suspects. Two of the suspects were sent home on their own recognizance while the investigation continues. One suspect, age 16, was taken into custody because he was wanted in an unrelated robbery case. One suspect managed to flee. Wow. Just wow. Not only did two idiots let four armed people into a school for their own safety from the police, but two of these scumbags were sent home on their own recognizance. This prompted my question earlier, in collusion with the previous articles about the St. Louis school shooting. When are we going to start taking this crap seriously, people? What I mean by serious is having multiple armed people in every school across the land, because until we get rid of this federal gun-free zones crap, And until we start taking this seriously, this will continue. There is no doubt about it. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. To take it seriously, you have to fight the fire with more fire. Just like happened in St. Louis, when those police went to the sound of the gunfire, unlike Uvalde, and shut that rascal down with guns. My word, people. We live in some strange times. I'm not sure what's more strange, the fact that we're experiencing so many of these shootings lately, or if we got assistant principals at schools letting armed people in for their own safety from the police. Wow. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Shooting Straight Radio podcast. I'm going to go try to find words to come up with to deal with this, maybe on a later podcast. But in the meantime, keep in contact with your representatives. Keep a gun on your person at all times. Make sure it's loaded. Make sure there's one in the chamber. Make sure you take training regularly. And you can find that at find instructors at shootingclasses.com, one of the sponsors of this program. Keep your head on a swivel. And never forget, incoming rounds always have the right of way. Royce out. So turn-